We're starting the show called The Mystic Pete Chronicles, and I'm Mystic Pete. Every week, through interviews with thought leaders, visionaries, and creatives, and story, music, and humor, we'll do some deep ponders in this time of great change, and have some fun. If you'd like more information about today's guests, or to be interviewed for the show yourself, I'm at mysticpete.com and mysticpete on social media. Today's show. Well, we start with a calendar, and then I do an extended interview with Date Night and play her music. That's today's show. Stay tuned. Here's this week's calendar. Take Back the Night Productions and Moe's House of Axe present Metropolis, a futuristic haven in the heart of the city featuring amazing DJs, food, craft, cocktails, and axe throwing. A portion of the proceeds will be donated to the International Rescue Committee. It starts Wednesday, May 11th, 7 p.m. and goes till 2 a.m. at Moe's House of Axe. More information at Eventbrite, search Metropolis LA. Then a show favorite, The Verdi Chorus, May 14th at 7:30 p.m. and May 15th at 2 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Santa Monica. They will be featuring talented soloists and their wonderful chorus. This is a great experience for opera lovers or people who want to find out about opera. Again, the Verdi Chorus on May 14th and 15th at the First Presbyterian Church in Santa Monica. More information at theverdichorus.org. And for an extraordinary experience of musical theater, you might want to check out Tootsie. It'll be playing until May 15th at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. Go to BroadwayInHollywood.com. If you haven't seen musical theater in Los Angeles, this is going to be a great show. And now for a couple of tunes from Tootsie. We'll hear first The Most Important Night and I Won't Let You Down. After that, my interview with Date Night.
Imagine that you are the flower and I am the dirt. My world spins around you. Whenever you fall, I'm the one who gets hurt. I give you all I have. Give me one thing in return. Help me help you to help me to help you to help me to help you to learn that I won't let you down. I'll give you my heart and soul. I'll be here to play any role. sees me and nobody listens and nobody cares. But you know what's in here, love and devotion that needs to be shared. Pick it up! I won't let you down. That's good, thank you. Because you believe in me, because you're the one who can see I'm here and alive. I won't let you down. Cause when I felt empty inside, you filled up my cup, you lifted me up, and I won't let you down, up a whole step. I'll never let you down. I'll do what you need me to do. I promise I'll always come through. Just call and I'm there. My voice, I won't let you down. Just give it some thought. I love you a lot. I won't let you down. I won't let you down.
Important night. most important night. The most important night. The most important night. The most important night. The most important night.
Tonight.
The most important night.
So it is April 3rd, 2022. Mystic Pete here with Date Night, N-I-T-E.
Yes.
Hi, Date Night.
Hello.
You are going to be on my DJ show in a dream. You gave me a mix, which is incredible.
Thank you.
Wonderful journey. And you just seem to me to be a person who I wanted to interview for my talk show.
Yeah.
There's a story here. I want to hear it.
There's a lot of stories here, yes.
Well, how'd you get into music?
I started with flute and band, like elementary school, fourth grade. I forgot, I played violin first, and I dropped that pretty quick. But I ended up switching to flute, and I just kind of fell in love with it. I don't know, I just started practicing more and more. And I remember the band director was like, she seems kind of good. Like, maybe we need to get her lessons or something. So the teacher I actually studied with, like, all throughout middle and high school, I forgot, was actually, like, referred by the school, which was awesome. And she just happened to be, like, a great fit for me. And I started taking private lessons and then started just, like, going down the rabbit hole of classical. She started introducing me to like the idea of competing and like youth orchestras and auditioning, and by the time I was like early high school, I was already in like two youth orchestras and trying to do like concerto competitions. And then kind of at the same time, like late middle school, my brother had an extra guitar, so I started playing guitar, and I really wanted to join jazz band, so I started learning jazz guitar, and also got lessons through the school, which was great, public schools. And then, yeah, there was this really, really crazy, I was thinking about this on the way over, because I feel like I kind of, like, forget earlier parts of my life sometimes. I'm, like, so future-focused, but there was this, like, crazy time in high school where it felt like a really big juxtapose, where I'd be, like, going to, like, classical flute practice or like youth orchestra, but then like the next night would be like jazz band rehearsal and like just totally different world. Like, so it was cool, and I don't know, it like arose problems for me because I think I felt conflicted between the two worlds. And of course, being young and whatever, like there were influences over me of like, well, you should do this because you're better at it, or like, you can't have dyed hair and be in an orchestra, but you can have dyed hair and be in jazz band. That's cool. You know, just like this weird world where I was like, I don't know where I fit in, but I want to do both. And so I pushed really hard to just like keep doing both and see what would happen.
The more freeform jazz, improvisational, more maybe feeling based than classical music, which is the best you can do is read the notes on the page perfectly.
Yes. And sometimes get yelled at for it. So, yeah.
You know, it brings up an interesting topic that I've struggled with, and that's youth and arts and music and training. And I'm not sure if in Europe or other countries there are different systems, but here it can be very competitive. I personally do not like competition television shows like American Idol. I hate them.
It's kind of weird.
Well, because I think it's very entertaining, and I think it gets big audiences, and I think it makes a lot of stars. But my own feeling about music and the arts is it's something I want to help build community and bring people together over and break down barriers.
Yeah.
And as soon as competition gets into it, something else entirely happens.
Yeah.
This is your interview, but I just want to
No, it's true.
Recall a quick story from my past. There was this beautiful little record store on Main Street, Santa Monica, called Hyperdisc.
Nice.
A fella named Bud ran it. Just a great, edgy, fun place. And then it had a stage. And we all went and played music and played with each other. And wow. A real community developed. And we all loved each other.
That's cool.
But then one day they did some like a competition for like a free CD or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Something absolutely trivial. Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything.
But suddenly, the friendship was gone. We were all like competing with, and it somehow like broke the spirit. And it just showed me so clearly how competition, it goes against whatever I'm trying to do as an artist. Anyway, that was a long intro to competition and its purpose.
I mean, one of the many reasons I got out of classical world, like, it not only, like, separated me from even my peers, like, even from myself, like, just feeling like, oh my god, I practiced so much, or, like, I think I did pretty good, and I'm, like, in a master class getting yelled at by, like, an 80-year-old guy hovering over me, and it's just like, this doesn't feel right, like, this isn't fun anymore, like, yeah, my whole, like, path with classical was really weird, and I was kind of bitter about it for a while, because I ended up going to school for classical flute, but, I mean, pretty much even, like, the first couple months there, I was like, this is not for me, like, but, I don't know, I just, like, kind of stuck it out. I think I felt like I had a lot of expectation. I don't blame them, but kind of, like, from my family, and they, like, somehow got me to go to this, like, crazy private school and signed all these loans, so I felt like I have to do this, like, everyone says I'm so good at flute, okay, I'll just, like, try it. And then by the end, I was just so like, no, I'm out. But like, which is something cool I think I'm good at. Like, I'm very adaptable and I'm very like, I've always known myself the whole process, which I think is important. And like now being older, I'm like, that's a strength of mine. Like, I don't know. I'd have like some, yeah, instructor like yelling at me. I'd be like, I don't care though. Like, I'm paying to be here or whatever. I'm studying hard. Cool. I'm still gonna like go see a band tonight, you know, like whatever. Like, people in my school wouldn't even listen to like Radiohead. It was so insane. It was like such a bubble. Like,
well, Radiohead, you know, this is wild music.
Yeah,
but only like, not even Radiohead. Horrible people listen to miscreants and juvenile delinquents.
I was like, what? I would like go running with people. It was so bad. I tell people this story. I like had a friend and she was awesome, but like, oh my god, we're like on a run and I'm just listening to whatever, pump me up, you know, like I listen to pretty much anything except classical unless I was learning the piece, but she'd be like listening to concertos and stuff, just like working out, and I was like, this is no like, I just can't relate to this. So yeah, in college I felt pretty like isolated actually, and I felt kind of like the weird one out at my school, and it was just kind of like, why am I here? I'm just kind of doing this to graduate, and now I'm in a lot of debt, which is sad, but I did learn a lot. I mean, like, I still use, like, techniques for performing. Like, I do appreciate that aspect, of course, like, because I remember even being, like, 10 and playing flute, and it'd be, like, shaking on my lips because I'd get nervous performing. So, of course, if you end up playing a hour-long concerto memorized in front of, like, 500 people, like, you're not going to have performance nerves anymore after years of that, so that was something cool I took away from it, and just like solidifying myself in my musical path. I think that's the main thing.
Ask 50 people, and oh yeah, I played the bass when I was, and where is it now? But this is just a really important question. What enhances the arts? What supports people to be creative? And probably for some kids, they thrive on competition. That drives them to success. Other kids like me, that's just destroyed me. And that, like, I didn't want to do it anymore. It's, to me, it's just this, like, wide open emotional thing, or even criticism. Sometimes people like the harsh teacher that forces other people, like, I'm the opposite. Like, I had to put down all my classical training on the cello and then pick it up from zero. And I started playing one note. And just listening to the beautiful sound of the cello, put down the music, put down the linear brain process, mm-hmm.
and find my feelings. And that's my path into music. And that's what I do now. It's all feelings. The music is just describing my feelings. There's nothing really intellectual about it. But somebody else, they have a completely different story. Anyway, it's interesting to speculate about what opens the creative door for people, what summons the muse.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, because it's interesting. There was a time where I was totally into the whole idea of, like, actually not even being in an orchestra. I really wanted to be, like, a solo flutist. So it's still a little look into, like, okay, I like being center stage. That's fine. I think that's totally fine. But I like, would feel it, you know? But there would be these times where, yeah, of course, I'd be like, but, like, I want to play it this way or a little different. Or someone's telling me my tone just isn't the right that this guy wrote 70 million years ago. So it was like, oh, you just ruined that magic moment for me. Like,
right.
I was just enjoying this and I'm not, like... So, yeah, I think that's why I was also attracted to the other side. Like, guitar for me definitely has, and still is, thankfully. I don't know how it could not be. But, like, I never did, like, deep, like, classical guitar or anything. I know how to read, and I've done, like, theater pits. And that was, like, a huge escape for me, actually, in college. I would do, we had a theater department, so I would, like, play in the pits for them. And that, to me, was like, oh, my gosh, yes, I can, like, almost like be myself and like play guitar and even like banjo and ukulele and these like pit things and feel so
that's,
so cool.
That's when they're on stage and you're below the stage playing music.
Mm-hmm.
People may not see them, but
yep,
you're creating the environment.
I thought it was cool. Yeah. And even then it was still not, I still had the goal of like, I want to be in a band. Like this still is not even, but it was just enough to like get me by through college, which sounds weird. Like, I don't know. But once I graduated, then I was, like, committed, and I was in a band for a couple years, and I felt like I could finally be free, but, yeah, it definitely lingered with me. Like, I feel like it took, even until, like, 2 years ago, for me to, like, kind of regain my, like, self-confidence with music in a lot of aspects, and especially the flute. Oh, my God, I didn't touch my flute for, like, 2 years, like, after graduation. Like, kind of similar. Like, I feel like I've kind of rekindled the love for it recently, more through just picking it up just one day and feeling like there's something I'm not getting from playing my synths and my guitar. Like, there's still this, like, oh, it's my breath, it's flute. Like, duh.
That's... School might have broke you a little, in a sense.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Hell,
that
yeah,
should be, I like, think, yeah. at least don't ruin people. At least don't discourage people.
No, I've literally had people, like, yelling in my face saying I'm, like, not good. Like, that's pretty I refer it, actually, to the movie Whiplash, which sounds really crazy, but it, like, kind of literally was that crazy. Like, I remember this one conductor I had my whole years, and he was even my advisor. It was bad. But, like, he would, like, scream at people and, like, get so frustrated and, like, he literally would, like, throw his baton. Not, like, at people, but, like, out of frustration. And he would just, like, yell at us and be like, what are you doing? And, like, concert tomorrow. And, like, this sucks. Why am I paying, like, $1 million to be here? This is horrible.
And again, like, this, maybe for some people they respond to that harshness. But I think a lot of us, as artists, we're sensitive people. And this stuff just hurts us and crushes us. And even as I'm a writer, I have a book out, but I remember in whatever sixth grade, write a paper on the 13 colonies. And by the end of it, I hated writing so much, you know, at least don't ruin it for young people. If you do nothing, that's better than crushing their spirit. Yeah. But I think your story is also one that a lot of creative people can relate to. Now, you're a composer, a producer, sound designer, guitarist, flutist, singer, synth player, and DJ. You're going to be on the radio, and if you let me out, and you just played an incredible gig at the Roxy. So, an enormously talented person, but maybe you're not quite built like just some generic off the, like, turn the switch and you just play music. You're a feeling person. It has to come through a certain emotion. And you have to be in the right mood. And maybe you don't feel like it for a while. Like, there's all these waves that you're negotiating. And maybe the world ignores you for your talent. or you work hard and you don't get noticed, you don't get paid. And so many of us are facing this.
Yeah, I mean, producing electronic music, again, has been kind of like guitar in the sense of totally free expression for me. And that's also why it's so attractive and appealing to me, is it's just like this endless world of possibilities. And I feel like I'm still not at the point where I want to be with it, but I feel more encouraged and like more like, oh, this is possible than, yeah, like classical flute. And yeah, I mean, I think it is really important to nourish people's desires and gifts. And like, I think that's something I've been relearning to do with myself. Like, I feel like actively in this moment, I'm in this kind of journey with my music, right? And I've been expressing myself through different ways, like not really like trying out different things, because it's not like, oh, I DJ like house stuff once and then I'm done with house. Like, no, I still love it. Like, if anything, I feel like it's all starting to like snowball. So now it's getting to this like, okay, how can I be creative and like kind of mesh it all together and like express to the way I want to, and also be doing all these things I want to do. And I think it's totally possible, because a lot of my favorite artists like are multi people, like they're multi instrumentalists, they're DJs, but they also do like ambient albums, and they also are like crazy good guitarists, and they'll release like one album that's like this, but then, you know, they go play at like a techno club and they kill it, and it's like cool, and they're surviving, like they're great, they're famous, whatever. So it's like, okay, if they can do that, like I think I could, hopefully eventually.
Well, there is this internal journey which we're talking around, and how we find our muse and how we find our talent and develop it, and how it breaks or gets strong, and sometimes that takes a long time. But then the other factor is what the world wants, what the world sees, what the world recognizes. In 100 years, people may recognize, oh my God, she was this great creative light, but like, not posthumous success, please. But sometimes people are. Emily Dickinson didn't have one published poem in her whole life, and to me, one of the greatest poets in human history. Brilliant. Or Van Gogh, you know, I think he sold one picture to his brother in his whole life, and now yeah. His art is one of the most expensive on the market. But the point is, sometimes the world ignores us. And sometimes the people who get famous or recognized or paid are the people who are best at self-promotion and best at, look at me, look at me, look at my cat video. And it's very frustrating to us. Maybe we're kind of shy or insecure or like brilliant, but, you know, maybe not that good at doing the marketing business.
Yeah, that's really funny, because I was actually thinking about that particular part of music on the way over here, and I was like, you know, years ago I think I would look at people like that and, you know, of course be kind of jealous, but also like, this is, you know, why do they get attention just because they're whatever, they look a certain way or blah blah blah. But like, I don't know, I feel like I'm starting to also be with my journey, this like, for me it's been giving me confidence to be my own everything. Like, I produce myself, and I'm very adamant about trying to keep it that way, and I'm like in the process of actively learning like how to be better at like mixing and mastering. Like, I don't want to have to rely on like three, no offense, especially dudes, to like mix me to be able to get on the top chart, whatever. Like, when I see that now, I see it as like discouraging almost, and I don't know. So now I see it as this like balance. Like, I'm trying to figure out ways to like, I don't know, do the thing and be like, hey, look at me. But also I'm like, which I think I trust myself, I naturally do just put myself in it. Like, I'm a pretty solid person, which is like hard for me to say because I don't feel like I was even this confident like 2 years ago. But like, I trust myself that I won't lose myself along the way. But also I'm like down to play the game a little to get to the place I want to be, and ideally to help people later on, so that when I'm up there, I can be like, hey, yeah, let's look at all these like other people that are getting overlooked. Because I think that's so important. If you're on a platform, you should be helping the little people, and not a lot of artists do that, and it's also frustrating.
The big people don't want this little guy threatening their sales, so they don't want to help people. But I think you're also saying that you found your stance more. You found your power and your footing, and so now you can take all your creative abilities and hold them out to the world a little stronger than maybe right when you got out of school. And I'd also like to point out, like, you have this whole list of things that you're good at. Now, if you were 18 and suddenly got discovered and you're this big famous person, you may never have gotten good at all of these other things. So this is another one of those paradoxes of the creative. It's just like sometimes when we're whatever ignored or tragedy or difficulties, sometimes that builds us up as artists, and we find powers that we would have never discovered had things been easy.
Yeah, I like to think so. I hope so. I've totally had that. Like, I've had a lot of weird experiences that have totally turned into great artistic things. And yeah, you know, it's hard. And I'm not going to lie and be like, of course I don't think about, like, oh, I wish I was already at this crazy big place that I want to be fame-wise, I guess. It's also in a weird, like, matrixy relative way, because it's like, I'm just trying to pay my rent and survive. So, like, yeah, of course I want to be famous because I want to get paid for it, you know? But, like...
And exist in the world and, yes, like, fill
just like your everyone
tank
else
with gas,
yes,
for $200.
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly. So, that sense, that's why I'm like, yeah, I play the game. You know, I've been teaching myself all this stuff. I've been working. Like, why not get paid? Like, and it's funny, I've gotten, flack from other artists about that sometimes. Like, I've had, like, actual conversations with people, like, peers, you know, like, same level, and it seems like they're kind of like, well, I don't care, I'm not about the money. Like, almost like, it's, like, lame of me to, and I'm like, why would you
not care? Oh, you're selling out or something.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, what? Like, I'm not even, I wish I was selling, you know, like, why not get paid at least cover my gas? Oh, my God, to drive, are you not concerned about that? I don't know. So I think it's, like, even as deep as that, like, maybe even non-artists don't even realize there's still these, like, weird stigmas, even between ourselves, of kind of, like, maybe, yeah, it's always that competitive or, like, kind of judging each other. Or, like, I feel like I've even seen it, and maybe I've even done it, unfortunately, with people where it's, like, maybe they're getting ahead and you're kind of, you got feelings. I don't know. You're happy, but maybe you're a little jealous. Maybe you're a little, like, oh, why can't I do that, you know? So that's why... Yeah, I'm kind of on this journey of, like, for me, it's more of a humbling thing. Like, I'm trying to, like, separate it. Like, my music is me creating from my soul, fine. But, like, it's also a business to me. And that part, I feel fine. Like, I feel cold and just, like, cool, whatever. I'm trying to make money from it. That's great. Like, I don't want to work in an office the rest of my life. Why would I? So, I don't know. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I feel adamant about that. Like, you should get what you're worth. You should... like, seek other avenues to make money, and, like, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as you're not, like, hurting people or, like, using people or, like, losing yourself along the way, I guess. Like, why not? Like, if they're making money and doing nothing, why can't I make money doing what I think is something, you know?
No, I mean, I've had people get mad at me because I won't play a gig for free. Yeah, spend a half a day, drive out to Rancho Cucamonga, if that's... wherever that is, if that's even a real place, and play a funeral for somebody I don't know. Okay, we can give you $20 for it. Getting mad at me because I won't do that? Would, like, do you get mad at somebody for not, like, plunging out your toilet and fixing your plumbing for free? Well, it's, yeah, like, why are artists considered some kind of, well, it's like an extra thing. We're like, it's a luxury for us to do this, so we'll give you an opportunity. You can play at our club and we'll give you a beer for half price. And meanwhile, your bar's taking in $500 from the people I'm bringing. This is another, yeah, intense conversation, but I think most of us are feeling very passionately, like, what you're saying is, we have to be paid. We have to be recognized. I think in Europe, there's much more tradition of that. And there's more funding for the arts. Yeah, you play a gig. You walk away with $200 or $500. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's not for a free cup of coffee.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I never learned that even in classical school. Oh my God, it was like just play and practice and be the best. But it wasn't like, how do you actually land a job in orchestra? Or like, how do you compete to be the best soloist? Like, and you could say the same for anything else. How do you be a band? And like us, sometimes, sorry, it's like frustrating, like when people are like too cool for school and they're like doing these and they're like on world tour. And I'm like, this is my dream. Like, this is so cool. Like being at the Roxy the first time, that was the first time I had like an actual green room. And I was like, how can artists like come up here and like be rude to the staff and like be all like weird? And I'm like, this is so crazy. You get to do this every day of your life. Like, I like don't understand. Like that, I hope, is what separates. And eventually, you know, the little guy will get his turn when you think of it like that. But yeah, I've just been like flooded with a lot of these thoughts lately, like that of why am I doing music and staying true to myself and also like trying to help and also like being appreciative, but also making sure I'm getting, you know, recognized also and blowing myself up because no one else is gonna at a certain point too, and that's okay, and there's nothing wrong with being like, hey, look at me. So I don't know, that's kind of like my new, I'm trying to like navigate that because I want to be in the upper leagues, you know, it's like this isn't a hobby, I want to be playing on tour, I've never even been on a tour, like, and so I'm just trying to observe these people and I'm like, okay, how did they get there, or like, how are they acting, or okay, maybe I don't want to act like that, you know. I was raised, and I think no matter how hard I try to be cool and hard, sometimes it's like I'm like nice, like Philly, but I'm pretty much Midwest. Like, I was raised to be very, very nice, which is sometimes annoying, but I see the benefit and I try to be, I don't know, like you're doing sound for me, and I'm just like, wow, thank you, like you're making me sound good. Like, this is cool. Like, I don't know how you could act otherwise when you're in such a position as an artist.
If I was ever really famous, I mean, I think I would be so grateful that I'm in that place, that I would, like, be so generous and nice to, like, the janitor and the every, like...
You would think, yeah.
What a blessing I have received. I mean... I don't understand how, like, really rich people and billionaires, why they turn into such jerks. Aren't they like, thank God that I have this gift. I should be the most kind person in the world and take care of everybody. Why doesn't that occur to people with privilege? But it's the opposite. It's like they become bunkered down and self-involved and greedy and turn into awful. Anyway, I'm talking to Date Night, and you can be reached at I Am Date Night on Instagram, N-I-T-E. And we're catching you on the way up, Date Night. And we're talking about the various challenges that a talented artist who has a lot to give to the world, the journey, the issues involved in coming up in Los Angeles, the like world mecca, yeah, for creativity, where everybody is a photographer, model, actor, writer, mm-hmm, or flutist, guitarist, singer, synth player, DJ, sound designer, composer, producer.
Yes, we're out here.
Okay, so let's talk about a little more of the internal or spiritual journey that you go through when playing an instrument or DJing or composing. What is that inner process like?
It is a lot of things. I'm actually a very in my head person. So I feel like that's why I do music, actually. Well, other than I feel like I need to, and I've always had this like need to do it and express myself in like this sonic way, and you could like fill in the blanks with whatever instrument that is, but because I've talked to people like, how do you write music and how do you do it? Because sometimes I feel like I'm not the most productive person in that way. Like, I think I'm a pretty slow writer, and like it takes a lot for me to be happy with what I've written at that time, but it's like more about the process for me. Like, I don't know, everything I've written has been stemmed from like something, whether it's like, I don't know, I'm like so anxious, I just need to like go in my room and like make noise on something, and then I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. Let me try to make it a song. Or even as like logical as like, okay, I have a show coming up and I kind of want to sound like this type of vibe, or like, I don't feel too bad about stuff like that. Like, I don't think for me personally it takes away from creativity trying to like emulate certain even like genres or something, and then it'll like turn into something else. It's definitely all feelings based. I'm a very feelings person, and which is I think a blessing and a curse sometimes, trying to be creative and like productive and creative, because I know people who can just like go in the studio and just like hash it out, and every time it's like so cool, and they actually like it too, and they're like, this is cool, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like every other time that I actually am liking what I did at the end of it. Which is interesting. Yeah. And that, I don't know. I think honestly that's still like residue from maybe like college stuff in my ear, like, you're not good. But then there's still always this like thing I have to like get off my chest. And yeah, sometimes it's really as basic as like, I'm super anxious and I just need to like play on my synth tonight or something, and like I'll just feel better. Like, I'll just feel productive, whatever it is. Like, I'll just, something feels better, and I haven't found another thing that's not music that makes me feel better in that way. So that's kind of cool to know. And that's why I feel so confident. Like, no, I know music is my thing. Like, I'm still trying to figure out what exactly. Like, is it flute, is it guitar, or whatever, but is it DJing? But I don't know. Like, I'm getting something from doing all of it right now, which is really cool and kind of exhausting and overwhelming, but I'm like trying to be really open to this journey to like see what I'm gonna naturally like hone in on in the next like 5 years.
So it sounds like there's a few things that lead to the creative process. One, well, you said you're a bit of a cerebral person. So it's either actually ideas coming from your head that you want to represent, or trying to get out of your head. Mm-hmm. So there's that mental process, either going in or getting out. And then there's the emotional journey, which sounds like sometimes it's very trance-like for you. You're just lost in the creative journey. But other times, it's almost like therapy for you. Your anxiety or whatever, it gets solved, in a sense, through the creation.
Yeah. That's funny you said that out loud. I'm like, I've never even thought of it. Like, literally, yeah. Like, music therapy on myself. Like, I don't know. It's not as basic as this, but I was thinking about this in the car, too, where I was like, yes, of course, I express myself through music, so I am my music, blah blah blah, but I don't know if that's always 100% true. Like, I feel like I know people who like they do it and they're good at it and they feel good, and like there's something maybe that's not in a bad way, but it's just not as deep. Like, maybe like, yeah, the anxiety thing, instead they go run or they do other stuff like that, right? But yeah, I feel like for me music is like, and that's why sometimes I honestly like struggle with it. And actually there was like a lot of years where I really struggled with it because of that, where it was like this weird mashup of like, I want to be good enough, whatever that means, these like crazy expectations in my head that like kind of weren't healthy, but also like I need to do this to feel better, but like what I'm doing isn't coming out right and like isn't what I like necessarily, or like I'm not happy with this, but I'm still feeling better doing it. So that I feel better though, like I don't know how. Over the years, I think just gaining back my confidence and stuff with music, but I definitely feel at a way better place with that, and I feel more in tune with like my creating. And yeah, talking about the trance thing with DJing in particular, just today talking about it. Yeah, and I never thought of it like that. Like, nobody, of course, well, not maybe, of course, I don't know, nobody was like explaining it to me like that. Like, oh, you're gonna start DJing and like you're gonna get lost. Like, even making the mix for the show was, and I was like, oh, I just kind of started doing these little rituals almost, where it's like, yeah, like I shut the door and I just like go in. I have like songs in mind, but even that, I mean, people do whatever they want, I don't care. My process is like, I don't prepare an order. I don't know, it's very like 100% of my, like, my phone's off sometimes. Like, I don't know, it just feels like this totally immersive experience. And that's been cool. And that's why I really like DJing a lot lately, and I started getting into it, because it it felt like maybe that's my running, because yeah, I DJ stuff I write too, of course, because I've been writing like dance tracks, but it's not the same as, of course, going on stage and like singing, and I'm like, is my voice good? Whatever. Like, it's very, very personal because I wrote this. Like, half these songs I didn't write, but I think are cool and I'm trying to share with you. So, yeah, it feels more comfortable or something. Mm-hmm. So that's why I've been really intrigued with like DJ world, and like, not that I never respected DJs, of course, but like, there's just this like deeper level I feel like I'm getting into that people don't talk about, or nobody warned me, I guess, in like a cool way, where it's like, you said cerebral. Maybe that's it. I almost feel like it's like massaging that cerebral part in my brain, because it's so much information. And for me, DJing, I'm constantly trying to like more and more. Like, I think maybe I'm kind of old in this way. Like, I would think you're a great DJ maybe after like years, because I think, how could you not be? I don't know. Like, right now I'm just trying to like cram all these songs and styles and like, okay, try to figure out my voice in it, and like, but it's like cool, it's exciting. It doesn't feel anxious really. It feels like this whole other world of expression that I haven't really felt with like my music, which is cool.
Well, it brings up this old kind of old denigration of the DJ world. Like, it's not really, you're not really a musician, and everybody's a DJ these days. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of part of the narrative somehow. But I think DJing, well, there are definitely people who DJ, it's very contrived.
Mm.
It's a little bit manipulated.
It's obvious.
Yeah. But then I think the real artists who are DJs, something else happens. And I've been in this doing live radio with some top DJs, and something fills the room. I mean, they're doing maybe even a set that somebody else could have done, but like, we're in another world. They've changed the consciousness. And I'm just kind of, DJ Sneak is one of the people who came to mind. It's nice. Just like, we are like kind of all high right now. And the music sounds just like a good, you know, DJ set. But he's, something's emanating from this guy. And I think the DJ experience is one of first knowing your material well. Mm-hmm. And then there's a dance floor out there. There are people. And kind of losing themselves in a trance-like space, and interpreting and crafting consciousness and sound and music to bring those people on the dance floor into a space of art and ecstasy. So it's not the same as playing the cello or the flute, but it's definitely extremely creative and musical in its own way. I mean, as a flutist, if you're just playing Mozart concerto, well, I mean, it's really Mozart. What do you like? What's your, or if you're a jazz flutist, you're improvising. Well, is that more musical than just playing Mozart? I don't know. These are like, the conversation is there at a lot of different levels.
Yeah, because that just made me think of, yes. Recently, when was the last time I DJed? 2 weeks ago? And I've been playing more with like, almost thinking of it like a producer set, actually, like really playing with like effects live, and just like, I don't know, not even worried so much like traditionally type transitions, like really trying to make weird stuff work. Something's clicking sometimes where it almost feels the same as when I'm writing like electronic music and it's really clicking for me, and it feels like this mass, like endless possibility, like these sounds are crazy and how are they working together and like blah blah blah. So I feel like DJing, I'm really excited to like take it more that route, and that's why I've been writing more like dance tracks and stuff, because I feel like it's helping me understand better. And like, a lot of my favorite producers are, I mean, also DJs. Machine Drum, Ross from Friends, even Flying Lotus DJs. I mean, Kelly Lee Owens is like, oh my gosh, one of my favorites. Because to me, she does it all. She's DJing, she writes the cool heavy tracks, but then she's singing and doing like ambient. So it's like, okay,
she's putting it all together.
She's doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And you're singing too when you're DJing. So you're really being very musical.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, yeah.
And then there's the whole technological element. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with wires and
which I love. Oh my gosh. That's why I love electronics. I feel like I didn't even really talk about that much. My like love for electronic music.
Came yes, it's a machine.
Late
it's
college and yeah.
electricity.
Oh my god, yeah, that was like cool. I did like one course at Northwestern, and it was like computer music. It was like learning Morton Subotnick, who I just saw, which was so cool. And I like wrote a piece in Pro Tools in their studio, and it was like flute and electronics. And I was like, this is so cool. And it was like spatial, whatever. But yeah, so that was like my first intro to like electronic music, and I feel like I'm pretty competitive, honestly, but I kind of like it because I feel like it's opened up a lot of doors for me, and like even more like made me realize parts of myself. Like there's literally been music things which I'll see someone doing it and I'm just like, ah, that's cool, like I want to try that, or like I want to do it better. And then I'll go home and try it, but then I'm like, wait, this is, like, cool. Like, oh, man, now I want to do this for the next 10 years, you know, like.
You know, full confession, as much as I hate competition on the creative level, that has been one of my biggest motivators is, well, jealousy.
Yeah.
Envy. God, why he's getting famous and I'm not, and it really motivates me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's okay. Like, I don't know. I think it's okay. Like, I already said, I'm in my head person. I'm on this, like, mental journey, too, with, like, figuring out all my inner workings. But it's, like, stuff like that, I'm like, I think it's fine. Yeah, as long as you're not, like, a jerk or something. Know what works for you and what motivates. If that's what motivates you and you're, like, getting stuff done and you're doing your work and you're proud of it, it's, like, it worked, you know? Cool, you just made a whole album. Great.
And we take all the human emotions that we feel, you know, heartbreak or yep. jealousy, and we turn it into art.
Yeah.
I'm talking with Date Night, spelled N-I-T-E. I am Date Night at IG. Last thing, the name.
Oh, my gosh. I had a really cool year living in Seattle with my sister and her partner right after I graduated. And that was, like, my safe haven and, like, introduced me to, like, super cool world of like all their friends were like artists and like doing like modular synthesis, and I was just like, this is cool, like this is, oh man, I wish I had this in college. But anyway, so I was there and they were just super cool and open people, and I don't know, we would always like talk about names, and they were all like in bands and had these like cool names, and it was always like two syllables. Yeah, that was the time when I decided I wanted to do solo electronic music, and it actually didn't even start till like 2 years later, but whatever. But at the time I was like trying to figure out a name for it, of course. And Date Night, again, it was like a feelings thing. I don't know. I just wrote down a bunch of words, and I was like, the whole time I was just thinking of like this feeling, like lush, like velvety. Like I love stuff like lo-fi anime aesthetic, as basic as that sounds. I don't care. Like I love that. Like
comes down to
clouds and pink and whatever. Yeah.
Comes down to a feeling.
Yeah.
Just felt right.
It was a feeling. Yep. And I was like, this evokes something. Date Night makes me think like velvet, lush. Like, I wasn't thinking like literal dates. Like, people think it's like dates. It's not really that. It's supposed to be more of like a feeling. But yeah,
I was thinking. Oh, I thought you meant those little palm tree fruits. Medjool? No.
That's
a joke.
It could be. Nobody says that. Oh my gosh.
We are coming to the end of the show called The Mystic Pete Chronicles. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and mysticpete on social media. Once again from the calendar, Metropolis, LA on Wednesday, May 11th. That's downtown. Go to Eventbrite and search Metropolis, LA. Night of DJs and dancing. The Verity Chorus on May 14th and 15th. VerityChorus.org. The musical theater production of Tootsie at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. Go to BroadwayInHollywood.com for more information. Earlier we heard the tunes The Most Important Night and I Won't Let You Down from Tootsie. And we just wrapped up the show with another tune by Date Night, Endgame. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with more great talk radio. Mystic Pete out!